going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And then they ended up with Mason Graham, and you know, a lot to talk about. The phone lines are packed, so hang tight. There might, I have one line open at 216-474-0092, but I want to get some expert analysis, and a guy that we trust, because we read him at NFL.com all the time, is Eric Hedelm, and he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hi, Eric.
It is the
afterquake or whatever we call it.
It's exactly what it is. It's really mixed. Like, we're doing a poll this morning, love it, hate it, or let's see on the Browns. I'm actually surprised at all the fans here that are saying let's see, that it's not as polarizing as it may have been. Tell me, what'd you think of what the Browns did last night?
Strong value, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just on paper. Like, you just look at it and say, that's a pretty good trade. Now, the question is whether Travis Hunter will turn out to be the unicorn that some people think he might be, you know, and how high is the ceiling or you know, vis-a-vis how high is the floor with Mason Graham too. And also, you know, there's a you know, multi-dimensionality to it. You got to look at who they pick tonight and how that all works out, because it all parlays into the deal and everything. But, you know, I would normally say, well, you know, you don't trade up for a corner or a wide receiver that high in the draft, and, you know, hasn't typically, I mean, wide receiver I could see, corner, you know, that's less so. But when you have two players in one, that's where the debate makes a hard left turn. And look, maybe he is this generational talent who can do something that really few players have even attempted, playing both sides of the ball. I suspect it's going to be, you know, heavier on one side than the other, but you know, if you have a player who's that unusual, it does give you pause at the end and say, did we just let something potentially really special slip through our fingers? But again, just from a 30,000-foot view, I understand what they did, especially given where the Watson deal put them. It put them at a disadvantage, and they're trying to make up for it.
Eric, I thought in your mock draft you nailed it. You said, I wouldn't say Hunter is completely bust-proof. And you know, my thought was, if he were just a wide receiver, would he go at two? If he were just a corner, would he go at two? And if you're going to take him at two based on the idea of playing both, well, that's something nobody's ever done in the modern NFL. And so I thought it was a gamble for anybody to take him at two, but not necessarily a huge one. But, man, trading what Jacksonville traded to get him, I think, is a big gamble on their part.
It is. For a 34-year-old general manager who's been on the job, 3.5 months? And again, it could turn out to be a brilliant stroke. It may end up being one of the boldest moves ever by a first-year GM in his first draft. And I can't think of any others off the top of my head. I wish I had more time to, like, really drill down and research. But, yeah, I mean, I think the feeling in the last week or so had been, okay, Graham to Jacksonville is not as big a thing as everybody's making it. They want an offensive playmaker. I assume that was Ashton Jeanty. You know, they wouldn't say specifically Teroya McMillan was floated there, other guys, Tyler Warren. But, you know, I didn't think it was necessarily realistic for them to actually move up because, frankly, until probably, I don't know, Wednesday night, we hadn't really heard much about this specific trade. So just fascinating. And that's, you know, it got us off to a roaring start last night. And, you know, we had the Giants trade later in round one. So we did have some interesting stuff that happened last night. But that those first two picks, I think, will be debated and discussed for a long time because of the way they happen.
What did you think of Jacksonville giving up? I Jeff and I were sitting around. We were wondering what it was going to take for the Browns to want to come back, if they were going to take it. And then when Jacksonville offered the number one and, you know, the high number two tonight, it seemed like it was kind of a no-brainer to move back two picks. If you thought Mason Graham was your guy in the first place, it really was a no-brainer.
How do you not do it, right?
Yeah.
Again, I hesitate to say that because it's like I still think Hunter was one of the two guys in this draft along with Abdul Carter who I felt best about succeeding in the NFL. Like if I had to put my money where my mouth was on two guys, those are the ones. But at the same time, you know, I think Mason Graham's a really good football player. And I'd heard the Browns had done a lot of work on him. I think they had him in for a visit.
They did.
You know, multiple times throughout. So, you know, I kept hearing that name connected to Cleveland midway through the process. But again, once the draft started shaping up, I stopped considering him there because of who I thought they were going to take. But yeah, you know, first-year head coach in Jacksonville, a team that still has a lot of holes to fill. And, yeah, Hunter's special. Trevor Lawrence may be better than what we saw last year, year and a half. You know, they have some other talent on defense. But, man, I don't think they're going to be a great football team next year. I could be wrong. But even in that division, I have my doubts. So that pick could end up being really valuable. And at the very least, it was a strong trade, or at least a very solid one.
Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com. Eric, with that number one pick coming from Jacksonville, you know, we here in Cleveland immediately think, oh, quarterback, you're going quarterback next year in 2026. Do you think that's part of why this deal was made, or do you think the Browns tonight, with two picks in the second round and Milrow and Shuck and certainly Shedeur Sanders sitting there, could go quarterback tonight?
I had a feeling you might ask that kind of question.
Yeah.
I wondered if you guys were worried about it. Yeah. So I was in charge of the round two, round three mock draft. I think it's going up in any moment now. So I was working on that until the wee hours of the morning. And originally, I just sort of slotted Shedeur to the Browns at 33 and thought, wait a minute, do I really think that's going to happen? And then I sort of sat there and said, I don't know. Maybe there's been some reporting on it in the last couple hours. I haven't really been caught up on that. But I ended up giving him to the Browns in the third round. And with Tyler Shuck and Milrow going before him, who knows? I'll say this. I think there's a big appreciation for Shedeur's toughness. His accuracy has been, you know, praised. I think he's got some NFL qualities, but I don't, you know, even though I had him pretty high in my mocks because I really didn't know what the Saints were going to do, and there was a lot of smoke around that right up to when I turned it in, I thought, okay, maybe we'll put him ninth. I don't know, you know, and I guess I've stopped worrying or caring where he's going to go in the sense that it's really anyone's guess, and I don't think the number of teams, you know, looking for quarterbacks at this point is a big number. And I think a lot of people have shifted to kind of the 2026 mindset. If you take a quarterback after really the second round, it doesn't preclude you from taking one the next year. I mean, you could even go back-to-back. Jimmy Clausen went in the second round, and then Cam Newton went first the next year. So, you know, there's a quick point of no return where you can just say, if this pick doesn't work out, we can still take one next year. That could be Shedeur's fate, whether it goes to Cleveland, New Orleans, the Rams, wherever. So I don't know. I really don't know. And I tried to make some texts and calls last night, and I got the sense that there was a lot of confusion and anger in the Sanders camp and the Colorado camp. And maybe they were misled too. Maybe they got people blowing smoke to them about where Shedeur might go.
Yeah, I thought when Jackson Dart got picked last night by the Giants, I was like, oh, man, what are they thinking at the Sanders house right now? And then I also was like, what a great play by the Giants, because I know you draft Jackson Dart in the first round, But you really kind of have, and because we've seen it here in Cleveland, you know, when you draft a guy high and then you come back and take a quarterback low, that Abdul Carter kind of protects him from maybe some of that pressure that he might feel. It's still a quarterback spot, so he's going to feel pressure. But I don't, just kind of give me your thoughts on that, on how that whole scenario played out, too. I was, when Dart got picked, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I had talked for a few weeks about the possibility of Dart going before Shadur, but I, you know, again, it would have to be like the right order and the right teams involved and stuff. And I didn't know if it was going to happen that way. Daniel Jeremiah mocked it very similarly. I think he had him Dart going a little bit higher in front of Pittsburgh, maybe in a trade up situation. So there were plenty of people who had that Dart to the Giants connection. I think Joe Shane, the GM's kid, may have posted a Jackson Dart video the night before, so that may have tipped some hands off. But I got the sense that maybe they feared a Cleveland trade-up. I think, you know, given that you look who was picking between 34 and wherever they moved up to, 25 or 6, I forget. But you know, the only team in that mix, unless I'm forgetting somebody, I think was looking for, like, realistically looking for a quarterback was probably the Browns. So, you know, you could say, hey, maybe that trade-up was a little pricey. I felt pretty good about it after I saw what the Falcons paid to trade up for a pass rusher with character concerns. So, you know, it really was probably not that shocking in retrospect. But, yeah, like you said, imagine what the Sanders camp thought. Imagine how they're kind of approaching today, not having a great idea of where he fits in.
The other part of that, too, was and there was so much talk around here about Sanders going to Pittsburgh at 21. I mean, I was like, yep. I mean, at one point people were like, well, if the Browns really want him, they may have to trade back up to 20 or 19. As it turns out, that was true. I what do you think of all the smoke that came out from Pittsburgh or surrounding Pittsburgh about Shadur Sanders?
Well, they must know more about Aaron Rodgers or another quarterback, be it Kirk Cousins, you know, or something. I mean, they must have a little bit more clarity on that situation than the 43-minute spot on McAfee the other day revealed, at least to me anyway. I didn't really get much from it from a what's-he-going-to-do standpoint. But, you know, obviously they either didn't love Shadur enough to take him there or they felt like he was too similar to Kenny Pickett, you know, in terms of, you know, guy who has some moxie, some toughness, can throw an ice ball, has some okay athleticism, but doesn't have a rocket arm, isn't blessed with this super high ceiling. I think they almost felt like we're virtually in the same spot that we took Kenny in a few years ago. Are we going to do the same thing and kind of torture people the same way? I don't mean to say it like that, because I think Kenny's a good kid and I think he's a pretty good quarterback, but you understand, like, they just sort of viewed him as a low ceiling kind of quarterback after a couple years. And I wonder if that's not sort of the fear with Shadur too, that he's solid. I think he's going to do some, you know, he's not going to embarrass himself in the NFL, but can he ever really take us to the promised land? And maybe that's just my guess on how they looked at it.
Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com. And we're sitting here in Cleveland thinking, okay, you went defense with the pick and you passed up, you know, maybe a big-time offensive talent, maybe two, in Ashton Jeanty as well. And so we're assuming, okay, they're two second-round picks, they're going offense, two third-round picks, got to be going offense with at least, you know, three of those four picks. However, your buddy Daniel Jeremiah at NFL.com, and his still available, has defensive players up top. And the name Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, and Mike Green, the edge from Marshall, jump out to me. Could the Browns possibly take another defensive player here with one of these second-round picks?
They could, and with those two players specifically, it's going to depend on that. With Will Johnson, what their medical evaluation was of him, and with Mike Green, what their character evaluation was. You know, if you just watched Green and nothing about his background, you'd say he was probably a top 15 or 20 player in this class. Went down to the Senior Bowl, had a big week, you know, a little on the smaller side, but a guy with a lot of juice as a pass rusher. And even in a deep class of edges, he stood out in a lot of ways. So as the process went on, you know, and there were these allegations at Virginia, also an incident in high school, about basically a sexual assault allegation that he had to pretty vehemently, I would say, downplay at the combine and say that, you know, protest or, you know, stated his innocence on. And, you know, teams have obviously been digging on that for quite a while. These aren't new things. So I'm just wondering if there isn't a little bit of discomfort with some of what they dug up or his answers or what have you. Maybe some other incident came up. I haven't gotten too many specifics on it, but I do know one team in particular that basically said he's a no for us, at least based on where they thought he might be drafted. So Johnson's a trickier case in that, you know, the foot injury has kind of spooked some teams, I think. He's had a lot of little stuff, a lot of little injuries throughout the years. Again, football-wise, I thought he was going to be a top 10 pick in August or whatever. I mean, you know, at some point early in the season, I thought this guy just looks the part, long corner, really smooth. He's kind of a glider. But the long speed questions and the injury concerns really did crop up. So I still think offense is in play for them. You know, Mason Taylor, a really fine young tight end, is on the board. Travion Henderson, obviously, right down the road, I think would make some sense. Judkins would, too, for that matter. You'll see a lot of receivers go off the board tonight. So there's still plenty of offensive talent. The O-line talent's thinning a little bit. But the skill positions are I think, going to be well represented. And defense is still, I think, the stronger side of the ball in this draft overall, especially with the D-line class. But, yeah, I'll be fascinated to see how they address that offense with those four picks and how many of them they use on it.
A lot of talk around here about Will Howard, and hopefully that...
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
If the Browns are looking for a quarterback, they might want to sneak the guy up from Columbus to Cleveland. Your thoughts on him and the running back situation, where I think Cleveland fans would like to see one of the Ohio State running backs, either it's Henderson or Judkins, preferably I think Henderson right now, but you tell me about that.
All right, so I got good news and bad news. Good news is I put Travion Henderson in my round two mock draft to the Browns. So that's a win.
Okay.
Hey, let's celebrate that now.
Okay.
Got to break it to you. I put Will Howard to the Steelers, so I don't know.
Oh, man.
You just killed him, Eric. You killed him.
10 hours from now, you guys can throw spitballs at me.
Oh, my God. That was like getting drunk and having a hangover all within 5 seconds. Oh, man.
I wish you could do it like that, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
In reverse. Now,
I think it's safe to say that Henderson is somebody that they've done work on and would make a lot of sense as a Nick Chubb replacement. I think he does profile as a three down guy. He's not somebody where you say, okay, he's this type and he can only do first and second down, dirty or third. I think he's a fairly complete back. Judkins may be more of a first and second down guy, kind of a tone setter, power back. I think Dallas would be a great spot for him, but I wouldn't, you know, poo-poo it if he went to the Browns either. They just would have to maybe pair him with somebody. But, yeah, this draft has got a lot of running back talent. I think round four is actually going to produce some pretty good backs like Jarquez Hunter and guys like that, maybe Cam Scataboo. But, just last night when I was doing that exercise, I kept thinking – I should be putting more running backs in here, I think, but there's so many of them. You know, you can kind of wait at that spot, I think. So how those guys come off the board, I'll be kind of curious to see, and how quickly, if at all. But I think Henderson's a real strong opportunity for them.
Eric Edholm joining us, NFL.com. Eric, last thought. There's been rumblings that this could be a night where veterans get traded for picks.
Yeah.
Are there any skill position veterans out there on your radar who would make nice acquisitions for the Browns, either at wide receiver, tight end, or running back?
Yeah, good question. I haven't really heard specific. The last stuff I heard was yesterday afternoon. There was some talk about Jalen Ramsey with somebody I was talking to on the phone, and they thought maybe he would be a possibility maybe tonight. So, skill position-wise, you know, unless George Kittle's contract situation has gone completely haywire in San Francisco, I think he's probably staying. I don't know if they're still married to Brandon Ayuk. Remember, they haven't gotten the Brock Purdy deal done yet. I'm just kind of rolling through some players that I may have heard about at some point. I actually can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but, yeah, there definitely could be some veterans who are dealt tonight.
Eric, thank you. I've hit refresh like five times looking for your new mock draft, so hopefully that'll hit here in a couple
minutes.
I'm ready for it. I can't wait to see this
maybe
thing.
Maybe next commercial break, I think. I don't want to overpromise, but we'll see. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Eric. We appreciate you. And, of course, I'll be reading, and we're refreshing over and over and over on NFL.com to see what your latest mocks is. Yeah, I'm all for it. We got you. We're all about the clicks, baby. And, of course, he was on the North.